Okay, so for Siman Sadihei, there's two major topics that come up. The first one is cooking vegetables or something parv in a fleishik pat. So are you allowed to eat those items with milchiks? And the second big topic is, what about washing milchik dishes together with fleishik dishes? And there's some other smaller topics that we'll talk about. But those are the two general topics. Okay, so in terms of the first issue about cooking vegetables in a fleishik pat, the sugya really starts in Kufiyat Alpha Mabez in Chulin. In the eighth parak of Chulin, Kol HaBasar, and Daf Kufiyat Alpha Mabez, the Gemara discusses Dagim Sha'alu Bakara. If let's say you have piping hot fish that you just took off the coals, and you need to put it down in something, so you pull out a plate, a fleishik plate from your kitchen cabinet, and you put this piping hot fish now onto your fleishik plate. So question is this fish, can this fish now be eaten together with kutach, with this milk sort of cream that they used to make? Are you allowed to eat that fish together with that with milchiks, basically? Or let's say you had a fish that you just took out of the fridge, and now you need to put it down on something, so you put it down onto a piping hot fleishik pan. So now, can that fish be eaten together with kutach? So the Gemara presents a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. We pass from like Shmuel, who says it's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with eating this fish together with kutach. Why not? Well, why is it okay to eat this together with kutach? So Shmuel explains this is because this is only a case of nosin tam bar nosin tam. It's a case of not bar not. What does that mean? So Rashi explains that in order for the fish to be problematic, to be eaten together with kutach, it has to be the kind of thing where you cook the fish literally together with meat. And so there would be a direct transfer of meaty flavor from the meat into the fish. But in this case, you don't have direct transfer. You have a two-step transfer. You have the meaty flavor going from A to B, and then from B to C. In other words, I have meaty meat that's transmitting flavor into a fleishig pan, or a fleishig plate, and then from that plate, it goes, so that would be from A to B, and then it goes from that plate from B to C to the fish. And so that would not be a problem, that would not pose a problem of basar b'chalav, if you would then eat that fish together with kutach. Now, the question, I guess before we get into the big machlokas rishonim, if you notice, the Gemara's case is specifically when you have a cold piece of cold fish that I put onto a hot plate, as the rishonim typically understand, I put it onto a hot fleishik plate, or if I have piping hot fish that I put onto a cold fleishik plate. But what happens, what would be the case, what would be if both items would be hot? What would be if the fish would be hot and the plate would be hot? So the Beis Yosef quotes from an anonymous opinion. He says, Matzasi Kasev, and it's interesting. You take a look at the Shach. He even says, the Beis Yosef writes, B'shem the Matzasi Kasev, that the diak is, yeah, if both items would be hot, then you would have a problem. You would not be able to eat that fish together with kutach, with milchiks. It's only here where you have one of the items is hot and one of the items is cold. That's where you have a heter to eat the fish together with kutach, with milchiks. But the Rishonim all want to know that when the Gemara says dagim sha'alu b'ka'ara, we say dagim were put onto a fleishik plate. The question is this specifically alu, that we have a heter to eat that fish together with kutach? What about if I would have boiled up the fish in a fleishik pot? Or what happens if I would have baked the fish on a fleishik pan? Now, just to note, when we talk about boiling up, we're talking about the case of nizbashlu, that's where there's a liquid medium, as opposed to baking the fish directly on a fleishik pan where the fish has direct contact with the source of the tam, in other words, the kli. So the Rishonim want to know, would you say a similar heter should apply for when you're boiling up the fish in a fleishik pot or if you're baking the fish directly on a fleishik pan? So there's two accounts of what Rashi held. The Rivan, Rashi's son-in-law, said that Rashi held that the only heter that the Gemara is giving you for is a case of alu. In other words, it's only when you have fish that's you have cold fish that you put onto a hot fleishik pan, or if I have piping hot fish that I put onto a fleishik plate. In that case, that's when you have a heter to eat the fish together with milchiks, with kutach. However, if I would have boiled up that fish in a fleishik pot, Rashi holds that you're not allowed to eat that fish together with milchiks, together with kutach. Now, the Bali Taisus and the Rush both thought that Rashi did not hold that way. They both think that Rashi holds that the case of alu would also apply to Nisbasha. The heter that we have for Alu, for Dagim Sha'alu Bakara, should apply to for Dagim that were Nisbashlu. In other words, Rashi would hold that the same way that Dagim that you put onto the plate are able to be eaten together with Kutach, similarly, if you boiled up fish in a fleshek pot, that fish can be eaten together with Kutach. Now, many of the Rishonim hold that way. Kemat, all the Rishonim quoted by the Beis Yosef hold that way. The question, though, is there any difference between boiling fish in a pot in a fleshek pot versus baking the fish directly on the pan? So that's where you have a little bit of a machlokas. The Sefer Truma, the Smak, they all hold that the only time that you have heter to eat this fish together with kutach is if you boiled it in a fleshek pot. If you would have baked it on the fleshek pan, that would not be permissible to eat together with kutach. However, the Rajba, the Ran, the Rav Yah, the Ri as quoted by the Agos HaShri, the Rambam as understood by the Beis Yosef, all hold that there is no difference between if you would have boiled the fish in a fleshek pot or if you would have baked the fish directly on a fleshek pan. In either one of those cases, it's permissible to eat that fish together with kutach. Now, the Sefer Truma asks an interesting question. He raises an interesting point. He says, well, wait a second. I'm telling you now that there's a difference between baking the fish directly on a fleshek pan versus boiling the fish in a fleshek pot. Now, what's the idea behind boiling the fish in a fleshek pot? Why should that be permissible? Because, as the Sefer Truma says it, there are three nosin times, and we'll get back to this when we talk about the machlokas between the Ramban and the Balei Tosfos when we talk about washing milchuk dishes together with fleshek dishes. But the Sefer Truma basically says that it's going to take three steps in order for there to be an issue, right? The meaty flavor would have to go from the meat into the pot, from the pot into the water, and from the water to the vegetables or whatever you're boiling up. So the Sefer Truma says, well, wait a second, though. The issue with baking, let's say, fish directly on the fleshig pan would be that the fish is coming to direct contact with the fleshig pan. So the question is, but what about when I'm boiling a fish in a pot of water? What about if I'm boiling up vegetables in a pot, in a fleshig pot? In that case, the vegetables bump into the wall. They are having direct contact at some points with the pot. So shouldn't that be a problem as well? So the Sefer Truma says, no, there's no problem in that case for two reasons. Number one, because it's not like all of the flavor is contained solely within the pots, the walls of the pot. The flavor from that pot is really dispersed primarily into the water. And so when the fish or vegetables are bumping into the wall, they're not really receiving so much time from the walls of the pot. A second reason that the Sefer Truma says that there wouldn't be an issue with eating fish boiled in a fleshek pot together with kutach is that in order for me to get tam to go from a kli into some other substance, you need a liquid medium. You need some sort of boiling liquid to be able to transfer the tam from one to the other. And so in this case, when the fish, even though, yeah, it's true that, the fish is coming into direct contact with the walls, if they're bumping into the walls or the vegetables are bumping into the walls, but the fact of the matter is, in order for tam to go from the wall of the kli into the fish, it needs a liquid medium. So it's not really even like a direct transfer. Okay, so, but that's the big machlokas. In other words, when it comes to dagim sha'alu baka'ara, so the Gemara says, if you have dagim sha'alu baka'ara, I have piping hot fish that I put onto a cold fleshek plate, I can definitely eat that together with kutach. Or if I had cold fish that I put onto a piping hot fleshek plate, that's perfectly fine to eat that together with kutach. What about nisbashu? If I boiled up the fish in a fleshek pot, so we have the Rivan's account of Rashi, is that Rashi would be machmir in such a case. Most of the Rishonim seem to hold not like that, including the Balei Tosfos understood that Rashi didn't hold that way. Most of the Rishonim hold that if I boiled a fish in a fleshek pot, it would be permissible to eat that fish together with kutach. The only question is, what about if I baked fish directly in a fleshek pan? That's where you have a little bit of a machlokas. The Sefer Truma, the smak, they're all machmer. They say you can't eat that fish together with kutach. But the Rajba, the Ran, the Rav Yah, the Rambam is understood by the Rambam, by the Beis Yosef. They all hold that there's no difference between boiling fish in a fleshek pot or baking fish directly in a fleshek pan. You are allowed to eat that fish together with kutach. And if you take a look at the Beis Yosef, he says, as far as halacha goes, I would be noted towards the Rambam, the Ran, and so there shouldn't be any difference between baking the fish directly on a fleshek pan or boiling the fish in a fleshek pot. You would be able to eat the fish together with kutach. Now, The question then becomes, what about doing this lechatchila? If you notice, the lashon that we keep using is, if you put the fish onto a fleshic plate, can you now eat it with kutach? If you boil the fish in a fleshic pot, can you now eat it with milchitz? If you bake the fish on a fleshic pan, can you now eat that with milchitz? Is that permissible? So are you allowed to do that lechatchila? Are you allowed to pull out your fleshic pan, your fleshic pot, in order to boil up macaroni noodles that you are subsequently going to make macaroni and cheese from? So is that permissible? So that's a big machlokas. The Beis Yosef quotes a little bit later. He quotes from the Rabbeinu Yeruchim and from the Smak that they both hold that you're not allowed to do that lechatchila. The only time that we're giving you a heter to eat the let's say the macaroni noodles together with the cheese, even though the macaroni noodles were boiled in the filet shakabat, that's only if once that's post facto. Once you boiled up the noodles in the fleshic pot, so then we say that you're allowed to eat it together with, you're allowed to melt cheese on it, let's say. But you wouldn't be able to do the lechatchila. However, the Beis Yosef writes in the Berak HaBayis, he writes that he disagrees with that point. He says, I think the lechatchila, you are allowed to boil up vegetables in a fleshic pot in order to be eaten together with milchitz. However, if you take a look in the Darkei Moshe, the Darkei Moshe a little bit later, the Darkei Moshe in Beis, he writes that we're machmer, and we're machmer not only not to lechatchila to boil up to boil milchik noodles in a to boil macaroni noodles, let's say, in a fleishig pot, when I know that I'm going to be using those noodles to make macaroni and cheese. Not only am I not allowed to do that, but let's say I did boil up the noodles in a fleishig pot. Am I now allowed to eat them together with milchigs? Am I allowed to melt cheese on this? The answer, says the Darkei Moshe, is that lechatchila we would be machmer. The only time that we do have a heter that the Darkei Moshe mentions, that we'll talk about in the Ramah, but Esos Hashem, that the Ramah paskins that if you had it in an Eino Ben Yomo pot, then you have a heter. In other words, if I boil up the noodles in a fleshic pot that was not a ben yomo, then you have a heter to melt cheese onto those noodles. That would be okay. Now, in terms of the general psak halach, if you take a look at the mechaber in the opening of Siman Sadi Hey, the mechaber pretty much paskins like he does in the Beis Yosef, and he paskins at least as far as using the fish that was boiled up in fleshic kapat, are you allowed to eat that together with milchigs? So the Mechaber says, "Dagim shenis bashlu o shenitzlu b'kedei or shabasser." If you have fish that was boiled or even baked in a fleshic pan or pot, so as long as there was no grease on that pan, then, meaning fleshic grease on that pan, it's permissible to eat that fish together with kutach. Why? Because it's nosin tam bar nosin tam de hetera. Let's say the pan wasn't clean, so then you have to make sure that there's 60 parts of heter against a little bit of grease that you have on that pan. That's how the Mechaber paskens. And the Ramah is machmer. The Ramah says, v'yesh machmirin b'tzli o bishol la'asor nosin tam bar nosin tam. The Ramah essentially is quoting his opinion from the Isra'et Ha'arach that he wrote it up in the Darkei Moshe, which is basically aligned with the Shita of the Rivan, the Rivan's take on Rashi, that Rashi would hold that the only thing that you have a heter for to eat, when would you be allowed to eat the fish together with kutach, that's only if it was dagim sha'alu bakar, the case of the Gemara. But if I have fish that was boiled in a fleshic pot, then I would not be able to eat that together with kutach, and that's how the Ramah presents it. He says that lechatchila, that's how we would be machmir. But b'di'eved, then you have a heter. Now, an important point from the Shach notes that when the Ramah writes v'amin glas or lechatchila, what does that mean? What that means is that it's also lechatchila to eat this fish that you just boiled up in a fleshic pot or you baked in a fleshic pan. It would be the minig is lasra lechatchila to eat that fish together with kutach. Bidiyavid, what's the case of bidiyavid? Bidiyavid, if you put kutach on the fish already, then it's permissible to eat the fish together with kutach. Now, the Shach points out, and this is the Shach's take in the Mechaber, is that the Shach understood from the Mechaber that we would paskin like the smak, and that the Shach holds that to boil up lechatchila noodles in a fleshic pot in order to eat them together with milchigs to make macaroni and cheese, that would be usher, according to both the Ramah and the Mechaber. It's not so clear if the Ramah had the Beis Yosef's ha'aris from the Berak HaBayis. Okay, now that's in terms of the first major point, in terms of the difference between boiling up fleshics, boiling up something parve in a fleshic pot, or baking something in a fleshic pot. We have the machlokas between the Smak, the Sefer Truma, the Smag, versus the Ran, the Rashba, the Rambam, that according to the Rambam, Rashi, as understood by the Beis Yosef, we would be makel for both baking and boiling, and for everybody else, we would be machmir for baking if you bake the fish in the fleshic pan, but would be makel if you boil the fish in a fleshic pan or a fleshic pot, but practically the Ramah is machmir. Okay, now, are you allowed to put potatoes? Let's say you boiled up potatoes in a fleshic pot. Are you allowed to put those potatoes onto a milchig plate? So the Darkei Moshe quotes on this right off that yeah, that would be fine. That once you boiled up the potatoes in a fleshic pot, that would be permissible to put that onto a milchig plate. And we'll get into this. The Shach makes a small ha'ar here about Eroi, that it seems like it's not just taking the potatoes out and putting them onto the plate. It sounds like we're even pouring something boiling hot from a fleshic pot and pouring it into a milchuk pan. The Shach says that Eroi would also be okay, at least b'diavad. Now, what if you want to boil potatoes in a milchuk pot that's not ben yomo? Should we distinguish between a pot that's ben yomo or an ben yomo? So far, we haven't been mechalik so much between those two things. Would it make a difference if the pot that I boiled the potatoes in, if they were a ben yomo pot or not a ben yomo pot? So the Isvatar Ha'arach is quoted by the Darkei Moshe as saying that would be permissible to eat, let's say, those potatoes. If I boiled them in milch pot, it would be permissible to eat that together with fleishigs. In fact, if you take a look at the Ramah, the Ramah quotes that as well. The Ramah writes, "V'chein nimlo nisbash lo nitzu ta tchila rak alu beklish habaser mutalachin imchalav." Sorry, v'chein imhaya klish nisbash lo nitzu bo lefgam. Let's say the kli that I use in order to boil the potatoes was lefgam, was meaning shalohaya ben yomo. No, again, had to look at tchila laachin imamim hamin hasheni. It'd be permissible. He quotes this sefer Torah. In other words, the way that it comes out according to the Darkei Moshe is even though we are machmir, when it comes to dagim, that if you boil up fish in a fleshic pot, the Ramah paskins like this, like the Rivan, that would be usher to eat that fish or vegetables together with milchiks. But if I cooked it up in a fleshic pot that wasn't a ben yomo, then it would be permissible to eat that together with milchiks. In other words, if you asked, lichatchila, are you allowed to boil up noodles, macaroni noodles, in a fleshic pot, in order to eat it together with milchiks, we would be machmer. If somebody boiled macaroni noodles in a fleshic pot that was not a ben yomo, are you allowed to now eat those noodles together with milchiks? Are you allowed to make macaroni and cheese now? The answer would be yes. Okay. One side point, and that is eggs. The Beis Yosef makes a point of this, the Torah makes a point of this. And when it comes to eggs, there's a Chuvas HaRashba that discusses, what about eggs? Let's say you boiled up eggs in a fleshic pot. Are the eggs now fleshic? Does it make a difference if they're shelled or if they're not shelled? So the Rashba basically says as follows. If you boiled up an egg, even with its shell on, and you boil that egg together with fleshics, the egg becomes fleshic. However, if you boiled the egg in a fleshic pot, with nothing else in there, if there were just eggs, let's say, nothing fleshic in there, you just boil it in a fleshic pot, that's perfectly fine. That's a case of not bar not. The Chuvas HaRashba was that you would be allowed to take, let's say, if you have eggs that you boiled up in a milchuk pot, we wouldn't be considered them milchuk, and you would be allowed to stuff a chicken with those eggs. And that's how we paskin. Okay, so that's the first major topic. The second major topic is washing milchuk dishes together with fleishik dishes. So, if you take a look, there's a couple of different things, different variables that we have to consider. We'll have to talk about ben yomo versus ein ben yomo. We'll have to talk about if there's actual grease on the dishes. We'll have to talk about how hot the water is, or if it's in a kli rishon. And then we'll have to talk about the mechaber's big chiddush about using soap to wash the dishes, and we'll talk about irik kli rishon. Those are the major topics. So if you take a look in the Tosfos in Chulin Kuf Yud Aleph Mabez, also this is like the Sefer Truma, that basically there are two major considerations that the Balei Tosfos delineate when it comes to washing milchuk dishes together with fleishik dishes in a great big hot, piping hot vat, where it's yad to lettuce bow. So what they basically say is that, number one, you have to know if the kelim are ben yomo or not. And number two, you have to know if there's grease on the kelim. If the kelim were ben yomo, in other words, if the milchaga plates and the fleishig, the case that he talks about, that the Baal HaTosfos talk about, is let's say you have fleishig plates, and you have a frying pan, a milchig frying pan, and you're washing them all together, you're soaking them in this great big vat of water. So now, do the plates become trey? So the Baal HaTosfos say, if both of them are, let's say you totally licked everything clean, the plates were licked clean, the frying pan is licked clean, so, and now they're in the same pot, the same great big vat filled with hot water. So the Baal HaTosfos would say that if they're both ben yomos, then everything is treif. Why are they treif? So the Baal HaTosfos give you two reasons. The first one is that the plates are coming into direct contact with one another, right? The fleshic plates and the milchig frying pan are bumping into each other in the water, and so there's a direct transfer of time from one to the other. Secondly, the Baal HaTosfos say that what happens here is when they're both ben yomo, the milchig frying pan contributes tam, milchig tam, into the water. And the fleishig plates contribute tam into the water. And so the water becomes treif. And if the water is treif, then now all the kalim become treif as well. However, the Ramban disagrees with this. He disagrees with the Baal HaTruma. The Sefer HaTruma holds like the Baal HaTosfos. The Ramban disagrees with the Baal HaTosfos, for that matter, the Sefer HaTruma. And the Ramban says, no, this case of fleishik dishes and milchik dishes that are together in the same hot vat of water, that's exactly the same thing as Dagam Sha'al Bukhara. How so? So the Ramban sets it up like this. By the case of Dagam Sha'al Bukhara, you have, let's say, a fleishik plate. And let's say the fleishik plate, will deal with the case where the plate is cold. So similarly over here, you have a fleishik plate in your vat. And then now, in the case of Dagam Sha'al Bukhara, you have a hot medium, you have a hot conduit to pull out the flavor, for the meaty flavor from that plate. You have fish. You have hot fish. And similarly, when you have the vat filled with hot water, you have the fleishig plate with a hot medium to pull out that tam. So in other words, you have hot water. And then in the case of Dagam Sha'al Bukhara, you have kutach on top of that fish that's going to be meeting up with the flesh of tam. So similarly over here, by the vat filled with hot water with milk and fleshic dishes, you have the fleshic plate with hot water that's just like the fish, with a kutach on top, meaning with the frying pan that's milchig contributing milchig flavor. So the Ramban says this is exactly the same thing as Dagam Sha'al Bukhara, and we would be makel. It's important to note that the Ramban has a slightly different perspective than the Baal HaTosfos do. The Ramban understands that you need three nosin times. He just understands, he has a slightly different perspective on what it means to have three nosin times than the Baal HaTosfos do. The Ramban views the water, the Ramban views it that you have meat going into the, let's say you have meat going into the pot, let's say the plate, you have meat from going into the plate, from the plate into the water, and from the water into the milchigs. We don't view it like the water suspends milchig and fleishig tam in mid-air so that the milchig and fleishig tam are coming to direct contact with one another. The Ramban is viewing the water like fish. And so the same way that the fish absorbs the fleishig tam, and then on top of the fish you have the kutach, it's not that the fish, the tam, is actually meeting up together directly with the milchig tam. It's not like it's being suspended here. The Baal HaTosfos have a different perspective. They view it, you need two nosing times, and the Baal HaTosfos are machmir. Okay, so but that's the big machlokas between the Baal HaTosfos and the Ramban. Now, in terms of Psak, the Ran is inclined towards the Sefer HaTruma and the Baal HaTosfos' position. If you take a look at the Rush deals with a similar case. The Rush says, what would happen if I have a great big milchig vat, and I'm washing fleishig dishes in them? So it's halachically similar to the case that we're talking about. And so the Ran says that would be a case of not bar not, and that would be mutter. In other words, the Rush seems to be noted towards the Ramban. So now, how would we paskin? Well, the Tur quotes the opinion of both the Sefer Trumas and the opinion of the Rush. The Beis Yosef says that lehalacha, we would be mekel. In other words, lehalacha, the Beis Yosef seems to paskin like the Ramban. Now, if you take a look in the Mechaber, how does the Mechaber paskin? So the Mechaber paskins in Tzadi Hei Gimel, he paskins like the Ramban. The Mechaber writes, if I can get it open, the Mechaber writes, Ka'aru shabasar shuhutchu biyorach leves b'chamet shayatz leves ben afilu shneim b'nei yoman mutter mishum dehavelei nosin tam bar nosin tam. He says even if both the fleshig plate and the milchig vat that you're washing them in are ben yomos, it's still mutter because it's not bar nat. In other words, he's passing like the Ramban, not like the Sefer Chumas, not like the Balei HaTosfos. Now, the question then becomes, though, what happens if there is grease on these items? In other words, we said that if they're both ben yomos, then we have a machlokes between the Balei HaTosfos and the Ramban, or the Sefer Chuma and the Ramban. What about if there's grease? So there is a Shari Dura, and the Ramban would seem to agree with this, and certainly the Rush seems to agree with this point, is that if there's grease on the plates, this is the second consideration of the Balei HaTosfos, is that if there's grease on either one of these items, you're going to be in trouble. If there's grease on the milchuk plates, on the milchuk frying pan, or if there's hard grease on the fleshig plates, you're going to be in trouble, and the items will be treif. The Beis Yosef is machalik between grease that's really stuck onto the plate versus, let's say, you had a beef stew that didn't really have so much grease. It was just beef that was cooked up in a soup. So he's machalik. He says you would be makel a little bit when it comes to the fleshig stew, but not so much if you'd have hard, you know, grease stuck to the plates. And that's by the way how the Mechaber Paskins. Mechaber Paskins in Tzadi Hei Gimel, he says v'mehaya shumun davak behen. You're going to be in trouble unless you have 60 parts of heter of water against that little bit of shuman that you have on there. Now, that's in terms of the Mechaber. The Mechaber paskins, like the Ramban, to be mekel, that if both are ben yomos without any grease, then there's no problem. If there is grease, then you'd have to be mafra. However, the Ramah pretty much paskins like the Sefer Chuma and the Balei HaTosfos. The Ramah and Tzadi Hei Gimel over there writes v'yesh osrim afilu ein shuman davak behem. Even if there's no shuman stuck onto the kelim, to the milchuk and flesh of kelim, it would be aser. El im kein echad min hakelim in ben yomon, unless one of the kelim was down to ben yomo, in which case, if there's no grease on them, then you'd be okay. V'az kol hakelim mutar. Okay, that's in terms of washing milchuk dishes together with fleshig dishes, the first two major considerations of whether they are ben yomos and whether there is shamnunus if there's residue grease stuck onto the plates. Now, what about washing the milchuk dishes and fleshig dishes consecutively instead of washing them simultaneously at the same time in the same vat? What about washing them consecutively? So the Darkei Moshe quotes from the Isra Vatar Aruch that the only time that we have any problem is if the dishes are washed together. If you would wash them consecutively, one after the other, as long as there's no grease on any one of them, then you're fine. And that's actually, if you take a look at the Ramah, that's how the Ramah paskins. The Ramah paskins, he says, if I can find it, he paskins that way lahalacha, that if they're not avol imchutchu zeh akar zeh o bekli sheni afil v'yachad hakol shar. Okay, now that's in terms of washing the dishes consecutively. Now, the next major consideration is what about if the water is kli rishon water or kli sheni water, or if it's yatzu lettuce bowl water or not? Does that make a difference? So, if you notice, the Tur, when he states this halacha, the Tur says explicitly, ka'aru shabasar sharachtu asam biyoro choleves, vihi al ha'esh, the great big vat that you're, the milk vat that you're washing the fleshig dishes in, is on the fire. O afilu eno al ha'esh, v'amayim chamin shayad nechves behen. Or even if it's not on the fire right now, but the water that's in this kli are still is still piping hot. So the Beis Yosef understands from the Tur that the Tur seems to hold that in order for there to be a problem when you're washing milchuk dishes together with the fleshig dishes, it's where the water is, yeah, it's a lettuce bowl, and currently in a kli risha. However, the Rajba is more machman than that. The Rajba says that if you have chom of kli sheni, even if it's not yatsa lettuce bow, that's still going to pose a problem. Now, the basis, it does quote a shita from the Maharich that's brought on the Hagos Shari Dura, that the Maharich was machman when it comes to kli sheni for kli cheres. We're not going to go into that so much right now. But so the two major opinions that we find here from the Rajba versus the Tur is whether we should be machmer for kli rishon, yatz lettuce bowl. The Rajba seems to be a little bit more machmer, and he says that if you have a kli sheni, it's mavliya and maflet, even if it's not yatz lettuce bowl. So If you take a look in the Darkei Moshe, he's holds, the Agosh Haidur holds, that if you have a Kli Sheni, you can be Mekel when it's B'ri'eved. Not L'chatchila, but in a Matzav of B'ri'eved, then you'd be able to be Mekel. So in other words, we have three major Shitas here. We have the Tor, who seems to say, the most Mekel opinion, that if the only time that there's going to be a problem is if it's a Kli Rishon, and the waters are Yatzeletzpo. But we have the Rajb, who says, even a Kli Sheni, where it's not necessarily Yatzeletzpo, it's just still hot. And then thirdly, we have the Darkei Moshe, who says that for Kli Sheni, we can be Mekel B'ri'eved. Now, that's in terms of Kli Rishon, when you're actually when you have the pots, the Milcha Kelim and the Fleisha Kelim together in the same bath of hot water. What about if I would pour from a Kli Rishon onto the pots? Let's say I have Iroi Kli Rishon. Would that be a problem? So let's talk about two different cases. Let's say I have a case where I have tap water that's boiling hot water, and I have my Milcha and Fleisha dishes sitting in my sink. And now I run this boiling hot water from the tap onto the milk and fleshy dishes together. Is that going to be a problem? So the Beis Yosef quotes from Agar Shaidura that would be usher. Why? Because in general we paskin iri kli rishon ke kli rishon. So that's no different than taking the milk dishes and fleshy dishes and soaking them together in a bath of boiling hot water. However, if you take a look at the document she quotes from the Isvetar Aruch, that this Isvetar Aruch was actually mekel. Why? So yeah, it is true that in general we have Ira Kli Rishon is Kli Rishon. But over here, we're not going to say that's going to be Mavliya or Mafik. What's the basic lumdus that he gives you? He says that what's going to happen? The only water that's really, really a problem is the water that first hits that and the very first gush that comes down. However, once the water sit on that Kli, let's say they hit a Milchuk Kli, and now they bounce off from that Milcha Kli and they hit a Fleisha Kli. What's the problem over here? By the time that they sit on the Milcha Kli, they become Kli Sheni. Now when you have Kli Sheni water bouncing off from the Milcha dish and hitting your Fleisha dish, that's not going to be a problem. That's not going to be Mavliya or Maflet. So that would not be an issue. Now if you take a look at the Ramah in Tzadi Hei Gimel, he actually paskins like this Itzer Vetzer Ha'arach. He says that we would be Mekel. However, the Shach over there says that actually for Iroi, we paskin Iroi Kli Rishon Ke Kli Rishon, so he's much more Machmir. He tries to split hairs a little bit when if you're dealing with an Eina Ben Yomo case. We're not going to go into that so much right now. But that's the Ramah's opinion. The Ramah actually paskins the Hakel like the Itzer Vetzer Ha'arach, that when we're dealing with Iroi Kli Rishon and to Milchuk and Fleisha Kelim that are together in a sink, that would be, we could be Mekel. However, what happens if I would be pouring, I have a great big pot, a Fleisha pot. I boiled water to have a cup of coffee. So I boiled it in a Fleisha pot, and now I take that water and I pour it into a Milchuk mug. What would be the din in that case? So the Ramah in Tzadi Hei Gimel writes that actually would be Aser. The Ramah writes, Vim ira mikli rishon shabasar al kli chalav dino ke kli rishon vaoser im haya ben yomo. As long as that kli rishon that I poured from the fleshik pot was a ben yomo, that would make my milchuka kli aser. If it were an ena ben yomo, then we could be mekel. That's how the Ramah paskins over there. Okay, so far we discussed washing milchuk dishes together with the fleshik dishes. We talked about the consideration about ben yomo. We talked about the consideration about grease that's stuck on the pots. We discussed the shita of the Ramban, the Balei HaTosfos, how the Mechaber paskin, how the Ramah paskin. We talked about washing dishes consecutively, that the Ramah has a cooler from the Darkei Moshe, from the Isra Vetar Ha'arach, that as long as there's no grease, then that would be okay, b'di'evet. You're not supposed to do that, l'chatchila, but b'di'evet would be okay. Then we talked about the consideration of Kli Rishon and Yatz Ledesbo. We have the Tor, who seems to be more lenient, that has to be Yatz Ledesbo in a Kli Rishon. We have the Rajbo, who says, even if it's not Yatz Ledesbo, in a Kli Sheni. And then we have the Ma'arich, who talks about Kli Sheni, that Kli Sheni would be Mavliya only in a Kli Cheres, and the Darkei Moshe, who is Mekel when it comes to Kli Sheni B'di'evet. We talk about Ira Kli Rishon, whether you say Ira Kli Rishon Ke Kli Rishon, that's a big machlokas. The Agosh Haidur says that there would be Ke Kli Rishon, the Shach actually paskins that way La Halacha. However, the Isra Tarach, as quoted by the Darkei Moshe, is Mekel when you have Kli Rishon, power of Kli Rishon waters hitting your Fleishik and Milchik dishes together. But the Ramah paskins that if you're pouring from a fleshik pot into a milchig kli, that would be a problem if the kli was a ben yom. Okay, now there is a big chiddush that comes up in the Mechaber. It's not mentioned in the Beis Yosef. The Shach makes sure to point it out that the Beis Yosef didn't actually mention this kula, but the Mechaber writes that Yirah Li, that if you put afer, if you put ash into hot water, into a great big vat of hot water, and you put in this afer before you put in any dishes, and now you put in dishes, that even if they have shuman in those dishes, there's not going to be a problem. Because the afer, there's not going to be a problem of a bas v'chalav issue over here, because that afer is milsin tam lefgan. The Shach and the Taz both jump on the Mechaber for this kula. The Shach says, we don't find this anywhere. There's no posuk who actually mentions this. We don't find any of the later poskim passing in this way. The Beis Yosef didn't mention this. And Adrabba says the Shach, it seems from the poskim that there is no such thing. The only way that you can account for a kli that has tam in it is to basically do hagala. If you have 60 parts of heter of water against that tam, that's the only way to eliminate that tam. And the Shach proves it from Matthias and Gidanasha about the fact that you have to do hagala on kli midyan. And he tries to prove it that way, but either way, the Shach and the Taz are both they're both cholik on the Mechaber for this point. The Mechaber has this big kula that if you have some sort of a cleaning agent like afer, so then that can be nosin tam lefgam. That's going to eliminate any issue that you're going to have of washing the milk dishes together with the fleishig dishes. Bidiyavid, right? It doesn't seem like the Mechaber endorses this lechatchila. The Shach is not a fan, and the Taz is not a fan either. Now, two or three more points, at least within this topic of washing milk dishes together with fleishig dishes. There is a discussion, what about spoons? Let's say you have fleishig spoons, and so typically you're not using the fleishig spoons in a kli rishon. Typically you use your fleishig spoons to eat out of a soup bowl, let's say. So what happened if you wash that fleishig spoon together with milk dishes? Would that be a problem? Or do you say, no, at most this came into contact with kli sheni, so that's not really going to be a problem. So the Darkei Moshe quotes from the Isravet Aruch, who says that we would be machmer because maybe you use these spoons in a kli rishon, you just don't remember. The Darkei Moshe says, yeah, but if you know definitively that you didn't use this spoon together with kli rishon, then you could be mekel. Now, if you take a look at the Ramban Tzadi Hei Gimel, he actually paskins this way. He's actually mekel this way. Now, two more points. What about the water? What about if you have a great big vat filled with hot water, and you wash milk dishes and fleishig dishes at the same time? So we know that that's a big fight between the Baal HaTosfos and the Ramban. If you would say that the dishes are problematic, let's say even within the Ramban's world, that the dishes, as long as they're ben yomo and there's no grease, they're fine. What about the water? Is the water treif now? So the Isravet Aruch that the Darkei Moshe quotes says that, yeah, it would be a problem to actually use that water lichatchila. And that's how they're paskin. Because using that water is considered, it's not considered like a matzav of b'di'evid. Using that water is considered like a matzav of l'chatchil, and so you should be machor like that. What about if you're looking through your dishes, and in a pot at the bottom you have a milchuk fork in the bottom of a fleishik pot you have a milchuk fork? Is that going to be a problem? Do you have to be concerned that maybe when you wash this fleishik pot there was a milchuk fork in it, and in which case it would be a problem? So the Hagosh Shaidur, as quoted by the Darkei Moshe, says no, you wouldn't have to be concerned about that. That would be okay. And Ramah actually passes that way as well. Okay, now two more major topics that come up. The first one is the exceptions to nap or not. The first major exception to nap or not is davar charif. If you take a look, there's a Tshuvas HaRashbah that discusses what happens if you have eggs. You have eggs that let's say they're seasoned with spices, or you just have them together with spices for some reason, and you put them into a milchaga grinder. So now, what's the story? You say, well, there are spices in there, so that's davar charif. And so if it's davar charif, that would make these eggs milchuk, in which case if you put these eggs as stuffing in a chicken, that would be asr. So comes the Rashi and he says, no, this would be okay if you use these eggs to stuff a chicken. Why would it be okay? It would be okay because there's such a negligible amount of tavlin over here that that there's no issue. So comes the Darkei Moshe and he says, okay, but let's say you didn't have such a negligible amount of tavlin. Let's say you had a regular amount of tavlin, and I used the tavlin, I ground up tavlin spices in a meat grinder. And now the question is, can I use these spices in order to season my cheese omelet? So it's a dark emotion. This Rashi, it's pretty clear that you're not allowed to use those spices to season your cheese omelet, because we say that there is such a concept as Darv Harif, and that it's not immune to Nosin Tam doesn't affect the Darv Harif. Okay, that's the first major exception. Second major exception to Nat Bar Nat is Shar Yisurim. Ron makes a note of this, that the whole idea of Nat Bar Nat is that I have, in order for there to be an issue of Basar V'Chalav, I have to have strong Fleshik Tam that meets up together with strong Milchuk Tam. And so if I water down the Fleshik Tam and I water down the Milchuk Tam, so that by the time they meet up together, they're not that strong, that's where I have a hatter because of Nat Bar Nat. So says the Ram, but what about I have Tam Shal Isser? I have already Nevela. And now I have a treif pot that a guy used, and now I boil up water in that treif pot. Is that, would you say that that's Nat Bar Nat if I were to then take that water and use it for kneading my challah dough or something? So says the Ram, there's no such hetter as Nat Bar Nat, because Nat Bar Nat is not a way to eliminate Isser once it exists. It's not a way to water down Isser. It's that it prevents the Isser from happening. It prevents Basar V'Chala from being created. But Avada, if the Isser was already created, then Nat Bar Nat wouldn't affect it at all. Okay, now the last thing that the Beis Yosef and that we discuss in the Shulchan Aruch over here in Siman Tzadi Hei is, what about placing salt or vinegar next to Kutach? So there is a Gemara in Chulin, and Daf Kuf Yud Beis of an Aleph, where the Gemara discusses who's the Amora who raised this question. This was Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi asked Rav Nachman, what's the story with putting a flask of salt next to a flask filled with kutach? Or what's the story with putting a flask of vinegar next to a flask of kutach? So Rav Nachman responded, well, when you're dealing with the salt would be usser, but the vinegar would be mutter. So the question is, well, why should you be mechala between the salt and the vinegar? So the basic answer is that the way the Rashi understands the circuit, this is not like the Rambam, the basic answer is that the salt, there's a concern that some of that kutach made its way into your salt. It was sitting next to it and bumped into it, or something jumped out. So some of that kutach makes its way into your salt, and you don't realize that it's there. So now when you're seasoning your chicken soup, you use that salt with a kutach that's thick and sitting on top, and you season your chicken soup with it, and that's going to be a problem. But when we're dealing with the vinegar, the kutach is not going to just sit on top of the vinegar. The kutach is actually going to become bottle in the vinegar, and so that's not going to be a problem. Even if you'd mix that vinegar together with basar, that wouldn't be a problem. Now the Rambam has a totally different take on that Gemara. The Rambam seems to understand that the issue that emerges from that Gemara, that the Gemara really revolves around, is that the salt will draw out tam. If the salt is sitting next to kutach, the salt will draw out tam of kutach. Mashainkin, vinegar will not, and that's why we're machmer by salt and not by vinegar. Now, so those are the two major mahalchim in the Gemara. The Baalei Tosfos, the Rosh, the Agostashi, they all seem to understand more or less like Rashi. The Baalei Tosfos have an additional point that they make, and that is that what about putting a flask or something, a container of fleishig, a fleishig dish or something, next to a flask or a bowl of that contains milk? Is that okay? So the Baalei Tosfos and the Rosh both hold that you don't have to be so nervous about such a thing. Why? Because you're going to make sure that if they're sitting next to each other, you're going to be super careful to make sure that nothing goes from one into the other. The reason that we're so machmir when it comes to the salt is that with the salt sitting next to the kutach, you're not going to be so careful, because you don't create treif by kutach making its way into salt. It's just that the next step is where the Gemara is concerned, and that's why we're so nervous. But when it comes to Basar sitting next to Chalav, that's not going to be a problem. We're not nervous that you're going to be reckless about it, and that one is going to go from one to the other. The Agostashri disagrees. The Agostashri says that the only way that you should have Milchuk and Fleshuk sitting next to each other is if they're covered well. Now, if you take a look at the Mechaber and the Ramah, at the very end of Siman Tzadi Hei, the Mechaber paskins more or less like the Baalei Tosfos. First of all, he says that it's permissible to put mutalite litein besoch teva kachal basar itzel shel chalav. The Ramah disagrees. Ramah's machmir like that goes ashri. One more point that comes up in the Mechaber, and that is, what? Let's say I had salt that was sitting in a fleishik kli. Am I allowed to use that salt now to season my cheese omelet? So Mechaber says yes, but the Ramah says machmir tavo lav bracha. Okay. So just to give the basic outline of what we dealt with in the simen, the first thing that we talked about was dagam shel bakar, the difference between putting fish, piping half fish on a fleishik plate, versus boiling a fish in a fleishik pot and then eating that with kutach, versus baking fish on a fleishik pan and then eating that together with kutach. We discussed the various sheetahs among the Rishonim, the sheetah of the Rivan, which is ultimately how the Ramah paskins, that the only thing that we would be makel for is if I had the fish, the standard case of the Gemara, Dagam Shalat Bakara, but anything other than that, boiling the fish in the fleshic pot, I would not be allowed to eat that fish together with kutach. We talked about the difference between eggs, that eggs boiled in the fleshic pot are okay to be put together with milchiks. We talked about washing dishes, washing fleshic dishes together with milchik dishes. We had the sheet of the Sefer Chuma, the Balei Tosfos, the Ramban, who is Mekel, as long as there's no grease, but if they're Ben Yoma, the Ramban is Mekel. The Mechaber Paskins like the Ramban. The Ramah seems to cite the opinion of the Balei Tosfos and the Sefer Chuma. If there's grease and everyone seems to be machmir, we talked about the kula to wash the dishes, that if you wash the dishes consecutively, then it's okay, b'dyeved. We talked about the consideration of kli rishon and yatzah lettuce bowl, the idea, we talked about the idea of irik kli rishon, the big machlokas, if you say irik kli rishon is kli rishon for these purposes. We talked about the Mechaber's big kula about using soap to be pogam your dishes. The Shach and the Taz both didn't like that. And finally, we talked about the exceptions to Nat Bar Nat, Davar Chariv, Shari Surim. Then we talked about placing salt and vinegar next to Kutach, and by extension, putting Milchugs next to Fleshugs.